This is your tech news briefing for Thursday, June 4th. I'm Kateri Yoakum for The Wall Street Journal. How are you? It's a difficult question to answer right now, particularly for Black professionals. Amid protests over the death of George Floyd, many companies, including many tech companies, are trying to find ways to support employees of color. On today's episode, we will hear from the Senior Director of Marketing at Microsoft, who is a Black employee, about her experience. That's coming up after these headlines. Shares of Warner Music Group are up after it went public on Wednesday. It was the largest IPO in the U.S. this year, and the strong showing is a rare bright spot amid market uncertainty related to the coronavirus. Analysts say it's also a sign that the music industry is making a comeback, thanks in part to the growing popularity of streaming services like Apple Music and Spotify. Warner Music CEO Steve Cooper said it was investors' vote of confidence in the future of music distribution. In recent months, the Trump administration has been imposing more severe restrictions on the Chinese telecom giant Huawei over security concerns. Now it looks like British security officials are considering following suit. They're leaning towards recommending that wireless carriers reduce or even drop Huawei from future network plans. But a recommendation isn't binding, and any legislation from the UK government would represent a shift. Prime Minister Boris Johnson has so far resisted US pressure to blacklist Huawei. And Snapchat users will no longer be able to find President Trump's account on their Discover page. That's Snapchat's version of a homepage where users can see stories from celebrities and other public figures. A spokesperson for Snap Incorporated said on Wednesday that it would stop promoting the president's account after finding that his public remarks could incite racial violence. Snap said it had made the decision over the weekend and noted several of Trump's tweets related to the killing of George Floyd. After the break, a senior director of marketing at Microsoft shares her experience as a Black woman in tech in this moment of upheaval. That's next. Since the death of George Floyd, the nation has been reckoning with its racial divisions and history, and companies are stepping up. In the past week, some of the country's largest tech companies, from Intel to Apple, have declared their support for racial equity, and they've urged employees to have more open dialogues about race at work, including at Microsoft. Last week, CEO Satya Nadella held a town hall meeting to discuss the protests happening around the country and recognized that Black Americans don't check their experience at the door. Joining us to talk more about what it's like to work at Microsoft as a Black employee is Tina Eskridge. She's Senior Director of Marketing at Microsoft. Tina, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
I want to start out by asking about that town hall meeting we mentioned. Can you talk a little bit about what Nadella said there?
I wasn't in attendance for the town hall, so I'm not able to disclose exactly what was talked about, but I can tell you that, you know, from seeing email messages that came out as a result of that and the posts that were given on LinkedIn that are public, you know, his sentiment is that we don't stand for racism, you know, and that's always been the case. We are proud to work for a company that actually stands with us and understands the plight that's going on in the country and in the world. And, you know, there's no tolerance for it.
And he really talked about having those kinds of conversations in the workplace. Did you see that change anything between the way that you interact with your coworkers about what's happening right now?
I think everybody is, you know, super sensitive to what's happening right now. And there has been a lot of dialogue. And I think that's good, right? I think that, you know, at a time like this, people need to hear that they're not alone. They need to understand that, you know, others can be vulnerable and be empathetic in trying to seek to understand, you know, what's happening around them.
Working remotely, as most people are right now, does that change the way that these conversations are being had?
Yes and no. I mean, I think obviously, you know, as a global company, you know, many companies are faced with having these conversations offline or online, if you will, through, you know, internet interactions and Teams meetings, et cetera. But I think that by default right now, because we are working from home, that is the method, right? People are communicating via phone. People are having conversations in chats and meetings. I've had people reach out, you know, via text or phone calls, whatever the means they can.
I feel like this is changing the way that a lot of corporations are thinking about how to talk about inclusion and diversity in the workplace. And one of the things I thought was really remarkable about the comments that were about the statement that was posted, at least from Nandella, is that he was talking about the weight that people carry kind of invisibly with them at work. How does that play out in Microsoft? You said this is a company that really is doing a lot to support diversity and inclusion. Do you feel like those conversations are being had more openly?
I do. I think, you know, you see the progression over time. I mean, I don't think any company is perfect. And obviously, as I mentioned, I don't speak on behalf of my company, but I think that, you know, all of us are in a point, or this is an inflection point, where everyone needs to think more carefully about having the conversations that need to be had in order to help, you know, what's going on externally, because we are more than just our work personas, right? Like, we come to work every day, we have jobs, but that we're more than that, right? Like, we're people at heart. And if we can't function outside in the world, then we can't function well at work.
Tech doesn't have the greatest reputation overall when it comes to diversity in the workplace. And I know that you've been doing a lot to change that, both in your professional life and behind the scenes. How do conversations like these play a role in making more space for diversity in tech?
Well, I think it definitely highlights who's in the room, right? If you're having these conversations and there's nobody around you that represents the individuals that are being oppressed, then, you know, that's certainly a glaring instance where it makes people think what could be done differently, for sure. It doesn't necessarily change anything unless the leadership of any company wants to change it, though. I mean, but there is I do think there's a strong correlation between, you know, having diversity internally in a corporation versus having, you know, having the right conversations play out.
What more can tech companies do to ensure that that happens?
Oh, I think that, you know, it's the same list that's as old as time. There's nothing new. It's just, you know, looking at hiring and promotion and retention, all of those things. I don't work on the D&I side in HR, but, you know, I look at it from a marketing and product perspective. But at the same time, it's the same theory, right? You want people that are making products that look like you so that they know what your struggle is and they can, you know, underscore or eliminate any gaps or barriers that you may have.
It seems like a lot of major tech companies, from Apple to Intel, Microsoft, have been also using social media and other platforms to condemn the death of George Floyd and post messages like Black Lives Matter. Is that important? How important is it?
That's a good question. You know, so I think it's important to see that people are, you know, of course, aware. And again, empathy, you know, goes, you know, a ways in that. But at the same time, the action behind it is far more important. You know, seeing people actually do something, no matter how small, is what's most important to people. You know, it's great. I don't want to see, and I don't speak for everyone, but speaking for myself, I don't want to see companies take advantage of this moment and use this as a PR campaign, right? Because if it's just a PR campaign, then it falls on deaf ears, right? And it means nothing, right? We really just want to see change. Everybody wants to see, you know, action behind those sentiments.
Nadella said that as well in his statements. He said empathy wasn't enough. People need to take action. What kind of action would you like to see more of?
I definitely want to see the conversations continue, right? Because I think that, you know, what tends to happen, if you look back from several years ago, we had, you know, similar but less worse circumstances with Ferguson, with Mike Brown and others. I mean, this has been happening continually, but what happens is we treat it like a moment in time. And rather than have this be a moment in time, it'd be more important that we continue to have open, honest dialogue so that people can be vulnerable and learn and grow. You know, I think part of this is that, you know, obviously Black employees are super frustrated. You know, I've spent the week, probably half the week, in tears, being exhausted, watching the news, watching, you know, social media and feeling helpless, right? People feel really helpless. And I think that what we need on the corporate side is just having open dialogue, having people, you know, come to the table, the real allies that want to learn and grow and do things differently.
And the reality is, it's not just about the death of George Floyd. It's about everything that's just been a catalyst to spark this brush fire that's been kind of constantly there. And especially now, during the pandemic, seeing the impact that it's had on Black and brown communities especially.
Yeah, it's so interesting to me that people are like, why, you know, why are people, why is this so much more profound than other, you know, circumstances? And it's like, it's exactly what you said, like we're in the middle of a pandemic. You're in the middle of, you know, an economic downturn where many people have already lost their jobs. And then in that pandemic, all of the Black and brown people have been affected the most, right? Because they're the first responders and the individuals that can't afford to stop working through the pandemic. Many of us, you know, I know people who have had COVID. I know people who have lost their lives, you know, and yet I have colleagues that know no one. It hasn't touched them at all. And then on top of this, you have what happened with George Floyd, right? So it's like people are just super, super, super exhausted. I don't even have another word to say for it because it's just, it's pure exhaustion.
Tina, thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, you're very welcome.
And that was your Tech News Briefing. Don't forget that if you like this podcast, you can rate and review us in your app store. And if you want to hear more news about Wall Street Journal podcasts, you can follow us on Twitter at WSJ Podcasts. I'm Kateri Yoakum for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.